dead. That's what Chris said. So here we are, talking about data stores, reducers, and state trees, to learn what he meant. Tune in to Tools Day, and we'll get the show started right away. Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks, every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about state managers in React or Redux, or Redux might be dead. I don't know. Basically, we have a show about state management, what it is, why it matters, why you should care, what Redux is, what it meant once, and what it means now. Chris has opinions, so we're going to get into all of those opinions in this show, and I'm super excited to pick his brain. But before we get into it, I do want to give a shout out and thank you to our sponsor. This show's sponsor is Datadog. Datadog is a software as a service based monitoring platform that provides dev and ops teams with a unified view of all their systems, apps, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are over 200 turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full stack observability with a unified view of all their systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end request tracing to visualize app performance, and real-time collaboration. Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt with a dog on it, I might add. So start a free trial today at datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday to get your free dashboard and your free t-shirt. Again, that's datadog.com/toolsday. Okay.
All right.
So I just kind of want to jump into it. Chris, let's give some background. We were thinking about show ideas we should do. And one of the first things that Chris says is Redux dead? And I was just like, where's that coming from? Like, what's going on in the JavaScript world? So can you give a little background about this show and why you wanted to talk about Redux at this point in time?
Okay, so the is Redux dead chant has been brewing, has been growing for a couple months now. React a bit ago announced this great new thing called React Suspense. They announced this great new thing called
What is React Suspense?
I'm not quite sure, so I'm going to skip over that
okay.
part.
We'll have a link to it in the show notes. You can do your research.
So, it's complicated. I don't know how to boil it down yet because I'm still learning about it. And they also announced a while ago a new API for the React Context API. React Context API was this notorious thing in the React world where they would tell you that it existed. They would say, please don't ever use it, but then everybody would use it. And context was a way essentially setting global state, more or less.
Ooh, and you don't want to do that. That's like bad practice land.
You kind of do. But we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so that's the world we've been in the last couple months where React has enabled a way for people to gracefully manage application state above their current component.
So the way that I understand Redux is that, basically it allows for you to have state management, like this global state, the state tree that updates based on actions, like go through a reducer that speaks to the tree, and then it updates like the entire state of the application at any given time, and it manages state.
Yeah,
like
more
a
or less.
Single store.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So it sounds like what you're describing is not far from
they
that.
They are similar. Yes. Redux has this great ecosystem of middleware where you can say, "Hey, I want to have this reducer, right? Which is the reduce, which is so in the Redux event loop, you have a UI interaction, somebody clicks on a button,
That's the action.
So yeah, well, that triggers the dispatch, which dispatches an action.
Okay, so the action happens after the user event.
Yep, so user clicks a button.
Okay.
You dispatch an action. An action is just a payload of data. So it's a JSON, it's an object that says, this is my type and this is what I represent. It goes to the reducer chain, and reducer chain says, hey, let me find the, for your type and payload, we're going to modify the store in this way. And then that's it. So now the store has changed. And then back in your UI side, you have subscribed to the store updates in some way. And when the store updates, your app also updates. So let's say you said open modal was a dispatch. You go through the reducer chain. The reducer says, hey, please set the global state to say modal open. It does so. Your UI page has subscribed to the global state for the modal type and receives an update. And then your UI shows the modal. That's kind of the loop there.
For me, this is just so far removed from what I do now for work. Like, I basically work on the web, but making things look nice and like function well for users. I've very much work in the front end, like design sphere of web development. So I've just been so removed from this. I feel like I understood this a lot better a year ago when more people were talking about it even. And now it's just kind of foreign to me. Like, why would you need such a step? Like, is there a case when you wouldn't need to have this additional store?
Yeah, so the Redux versus local state has been a constant, like, hey, this should be in Redux. No, it should belong in this local store. So every React class has its own local state, right? When you say this.setState in a React application, you are updating a object inside your React class or, your React class. And the reason why you want global state is because if you have two components and they need to communicate to each other, you can either pass props back and forth, or you can rely on some storage of data above both those components to kind of trickle down to both those things.
So I thought that it was best practice to keep everything as local as possible and to pass props down. And that was like a benefit of using React.
Most people will do both. So there are things like, hey, I need to check if I need to say that I have five items selected, and those five items selected need to be used in a bunch of places in my application. There's no real one parent per se until you go up to the root, right? And so if you need to access that data from various parts of your application, it needs to live somewhere where, you know, everyone can see to right. talk to it.
But the app state, I guess that's kind of what you're talking about. Like, this is like a global state that lives above the app state.
This is the app state, quote unquote, versus the component state.
So then what is Redux? Like, why isn't that just the app state?
So Redux is providing you a way to manage that app state. So, you know, one way to manage app state is to say, hey, in my root file, I have a, you know, I say this.setState, and I just pass that state object all the way down to every component that ever needs it. And I pass down a bunch of stuff, and that would be actually very hard to manage as your state grows. Mm-hmm. And so Redux is like, okay, I have an easy way for you to manage this complex data that's coming through. Many projects probably don't need this, right? So if you're like a one or two page application, there's no reason to use this. But if you're like growing and growing, it's a larger thing where you're managing, you know, 50 pages, 60 pages, lots of views, lots of data. You want some way to properly manage this. And for a long time, Redux was kind of the de facto way of doing this because it provided this great kind of interface with this. Everyone kind of complained because Redux has a bunch of extra files you need. You need to have that action page. You need to have that dispatch. You need to have that reducer, right? So that's a bunch of extra files. But the end scenario is that you had a really well-maintained or well-manageable way to look at the state.
This kind of reminds me of Backbone.js, like having your model view controller files, and you just had a lot more code than people were used to writing previous to having these JavaScript frameworks come out. So it feels like it's at that point to me where you have to write differently, but it organizes your code.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. So, you know, Backbone and a bunch of the older models subscribe to this, you know, model view controller mindset. Redux is supposed to be a implementation of Facebook's Flux model, which is a bit more of a circular event loop kind of thing. But, you know, for a while, it was one of the only ways of doing it. MobX came out, and people were like, oh, we can use MobX, and that's kind of cool. But you know what? It didn't catch on too much.
So then, what's the difference between MobX and Redux?
I have never used MobX in my life.
But they're basically both state stores.
They're both state stores, yes. And I would have to look up MobX more to find why people use it. It has less boilerplate, and it's a bit more direct about a couple of things, but mm-hmm. It doesn't have the same massive ecosystem as Redux.
Yeah, I remember Redux like simplified Flux a lot.
Yeah, so Flux was more of a specification than anything else, and you know there was like a Reflux, and there was a bunch of different implementations of it, but they were all like really hard to use. And then along came Redux, which was, you know, you had to make some extra files, but it was really straightforward. It made sense for people. You click something, you dispatch an action, you figure out how that action affects your store, and then you subscribe to the store in the UI. And it's a pretty once you wrap your mind around that loop, it feels pretty straightforward.
Okay, so then what is this conversation now that people are saying, I'm over Redux, I'm onto the next thing? What's going on?
Yeah, so first thing was that I know we now have this provider context in React, which does very much the same thing as Redux, where it allows you an easy way to subscribe to a global storage. So the new React context API is great. We'll link the docs to it.
Okay, so I'm going to pause. So to me, like, I definitely don't use Redux right now, but I am familiar with GraphQL and Apollo client and sort of providers and stores in that way. Is that similar?
So GraphQL and Apollo Link is a replacement of Redux. So if you use Apollo Link, you probably won't be using Redux. It's another way of having a global store, yes.
Got it. This is why it's just like, I don't know anything about Redux anymore.
So many people are saying, hey, you know, Apollo and GraphQL is a great way of interfacing with, you know, data fetches and managing data. And so why don't we just use Apollo Link? And Apollo 2.0, I think, has a slightly different version of that, but it's still great. If you haven't checked out Apollo recently, it's a really intuitive way to look at GraphQL.
So in preparation for this podcast, like 5 minutes before we started filming, I guess, recording, I Googled the name of the show that we discussed, which was Is Redux Dead? And the first thing that pops up is this blog post, Redux Not Dead Yet, with all of these comments on Reddit and like a whole discussion on Hacker News. So it seems like this has been a conversation for 3 months-ish now, which is interesting to me. Like, I don't know. What do you think about?
Yeah, whenever someone says, is blank dead, I'm like, probably not. Redux has a lot going for it, and people even not using React please Redux, it's a good way of thinking about state management. And I think,
so if somebody started a new React application, would you recommend that they just use the provider context instead of adding? So then, I don't know. I think to me, that's kind of a definition of like, is something dead? If you have it set up, then keep using it. But if you haven't, then why would you start?
It's not dead. I think it's just, so Redux as it is may not continue being used, but I feel like its concepts are really, really strong. And if you're not in the React world, people can still use Redux. I think with React specifically, as it's developing these, you know, native, quote unquote, native ways of dealing with that same problem, most of that scenarios could be resolved by provider, by Suspense, by the GraphQL, Apollo Links. And maybe you don't need the complete Redux overhead. When I say overhead, I mean like mental overhead, not so much, you know, size overhead. And that's a valid argument, but I still think, you know, so like my app right now is Redux, right? And I can't really comprehend removing Redux from this because our app is really big. We have a ton of different states. We use a bunch of selectors to kind of pluck data out of the Redux store and you know, format a certain way. And that ecosystem isn't going away. So, and even though provider and context provides some ways of managing this still same global data, the Redux middleware cycle, which allows you to build a bunch of reducers and kind of figure out how you want to manage data, is not replaced by context and provider. So
is the concept of context and provider similar to Redux? Because you're saying that Redux isn't dead because the concepts are still used.
Context and provider provides some of Redux. If okay. all you were doing with Redux was saying, I have a global store.
What can't you do with it?
So context provider does not provide an easy way to inject layers of middleware to modify what you're dispatching, right? So if I say context provider gives you that global state that Redux does, right? So you now have a store, your provider, and you can now subscribe to your store, your context. But that ecosystem of saying, hey, I'm storing this data into my storage platform of choice, and then I want to pluck out specific ones. I want to, when I dispatch something, modify in specific ways based on type, or a bunch of those concepts. You can replicate them in provider and context, but it would take additional work, which Redux already does for you. So if your use case requires a more complex data management, Redux still, A+. If your use case is just kind of, I need to subscribe to data across my application, then I don't think you need Redux for that use case.
All right. That kind of wraps it up.
Just gave me this look like, oh my God.
I'm so happy that my job is to now make things look pretty and function well. Ooh. All right. Well, I think that I learned a lot from this show. Probably not going to look into Redux if I'm starting a new React project. I'll probably find a lot of great resources about all of the options now, which is cool. But Redux definitely was instrumental in changing how people thought about data flow. I remember the singular data flow was a really big concept there. The unidirectional, that's the word for it. Unidirectional data flow, that's the word. So I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion on this like Chris does. Well, actually, I thought he had a stronger opinion because he seemed he did before the show started. But I guess the opinion is don't use it when you're starting new apps probably. But don't remove it if you already have it kind of thing.
I think the number of use cases for Redux is shrinking. But there are still use cases.
Yeah. So, yeah. For complex state management, it's still the best solution. Cool. So I hope that you also learned something in this show. And if you like this show, then please give it a thumbs up, rate it, respond to comments on the internet about it, share this with a friend, leave reviews on iTunes or whatever place you listen to this podcast on. I want to give another thank you to our sponsor, Datadog. Remember, they are offering listeners a free trial and a free t-shirt for signing up and creating a dashboard at datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday. And Toolsday is where you will find us on the web, on Twitter. You can find us on the Spectrum Network, on the Spectrum chat. Don't feel shy to reach out and leave any comments, questions for us about this show or any others. We'll see you next time.